started the special meeting of the Law Enforcement Public Safety Committee for Bill Ecker as the chairperson of the Fire Advisory Board to make a presentation concerning radios and radio communications in the county. I appreciate fellow legislators being here, as well as sheriff representative from the sheriff's office and people on the Fire Advisory Board. So thank you very much. I know I'm in animal rescue for 40 years, and I know the problems we have, and I also know that it is something that is going to cost a lot of money, but it's very important. And that being said, I also want to thank Ken Rock for as a member of Fire Advisory Committee and setting us up, so I appreciate that. He's really taking the lead there, and that's very much appreciated. So, Matt?
Okay, thanks, sir. All right, a lot of the information that I'm going to pass on to you tonight was presented to a group of 124 people that came to an open forum that we had at the Hudson County Community College back in October. So if you were there, a lot of this is going to look familiar. For those of you that weren't there, it's an update. There's a lot of slides. I apologize for there being a lot of words on the slides, but in order to get all the facts out, that's basically how it had to be done. Copies of the presentation will be available to the chairman and secretary, and at least the information will be there. We're going to talk about the current system. We're going to talk about radio system problems. We're going to talk about can we, with any kind of certainty, within reasonableness, assure future system reliability, the system that's there today. We're going to talk about the Blue Wing study a little bit. 2 years ago, our commission, they studied the system. We're going to present some extracts from a presentation that was done at the community college from the representatives from Saratoga County 911. Saratoga worked very much with us. We went up there, we looked at their system. They put over a new system within the last 2 years, just before the hurricanes and the superstorms and so on and so forth. We'll talk to you about that. And then finally, our options and recommendations. The current system. We have a dispatch center at Golden Hill. We have microwave links to strategic locations at 5 other sites around the county. A combination of various frequencies, low, high, VHF, basically analog, not digital. Analog is more prone to noise and issues that affect the intelligibility of the signal. There is no direct, and notice the emphasize, no direct interoperability between radio systems and the different agencies in the county. At an emergency scene, unless you look like somebody from Motorola with about 6 different radios wrapped around your shoulders, you're not going to talk to anybody except back to the control center. And then it's, whispering in somebody's ear, who then whispers in somebody's ear, and so on and so forth. The current operation, the sheriff and the state police use direct systems. The systems, some of them use repeaters. The repeaters help to increase the signal and cut down some of the noise. They're generally in the VHF high band and UHF channels, although some of the police agencies have or are converting to the 700-800 band. 700-800 is nice. As long as you have enough coverage, it's like a cellular system, right? If you have enough cell sites, your cell phone works reasonably good. If you don't have enough cell sites, your cell phone maybe doesn't work that well. As far as fire and EMS, we use low band for paging. We do not simulcast. So the signal that I receive off of this, the dispatcher has to select which tower would probably be the best tower to, in my case, dispatch Gardner. If that tower happens to be out of service or down for some reason, then he or she has to select something else. There's a little bit of room for human error there. Fire also uses low band for communication to the county and for car to car. booked by Ben II. EMS units, fire and non-fire, use a combination of low band and high band for dispatch and for car-to-car and car-to-county communications. And, of course, there are several private, non-interoperable systems that have been growing by leaps and bounds over the last 2 or 3 years. Fire departments like my own, out of survival mode, having to be able to talk to people on the scene, having to be able to talk to people in the house, and so on and so forth, can't do it well with low band, they've had to resort to this. And, of course, Public Works and other county users generally use high band, and Public Works has just talking has gone to a system that's very similar to the road system we're talking about here. So what's the problem? Well, to answer that, we have to talk about the frequency band. With each service using separate non-compatible systems on different frequency bands, there's no interoperability. VHF, high band, UHF, and 800 megahertz are the current industry standards, not low band. Bands are well supported, those particular bands are well supported with base stations, mobiles, portable products by all of the majors. However, additional frequency availability in those bands, especially VHF and UHF, is non-existent. When ART had flu wing in, they did a cursory look with the FCC and the frequency coordinators, and because of our unique location in between New York City and Albany, and also because we are neighbors to Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania, there are issues with getting licensing on frequencies that might be used in those locations and the possibility of cross-cultural interference. Anybody that was in or is in the fire service knows that on low band, Suffolk County uses the same frequency 4646 as we do. And in the summertime, you get up around Minnewaska, and you can talk to Suffolk County without a problem. Of course, we don't want to talk to Suffolk County. We want to talk to our own people. 800 and the newly opened 700 megahertz public safety band, you heard a lot of talk about Nextel having to reset all of their mobile phones and so on and so forth because of the reallocation of frequencies. That was the 700 band. There is still channel space available there. The space is being gobbled up by virtually everybody. Alright? And the name of the game going forward is bandwidth. Not just for voice, but for data and telemetry and all kinds of things. Our existing low band system is more prone to noise. We have computers everywhere. We've got computers on the trucks. And those things generate electrical noise. And it is very apparent in the low band apparatus. Low band is also prone to interference from distant stations, sometimes called skips. This runs usually at a 5 to 7 year cycle from extremely severe to almost non-existent. I don't know exactly where we are. It's related to the sunspot cycle. And I know sometimes in the summertime, the low band are out here is disastrous. The low band system that we have has limited available channels. It gets severely congested at times of multiple emergencies and storms. As you well know, the county is organized north, south, east, west. Weather generally travels west to east. So the west side of the China Ridge gets hit, and then that same storm comes over the ridge and hits Walkdale and Gardner and Highland and whatever, and all of a sudden we're all vying for channel space to go through our units and so on and so forth. Another important issue, low band base station manufacturing has been abandoned by all the major U.S. manufacturers. There are no U.S. manufacturers left building low band base stations. Don't exist. Product line selections and feature availability for the existing mobiles and portables have been and continue to be reduced due to low volume sales. Everybody is getting out of low band and going somewhere else. Most of the current Ulster County low band base station equipment predates the cutover to E911 on July the 11th of 94. We're coming up on an anniversary, folks. We're going to be 20 years old in the 911 center in a few months. All right? when that center cut over, when E-911 was established, did a lot of work in the center. Everything out on the hilltops was just connected up to the new equipment. So anything that was out there that talks to me, that activates this, is generally the same equipment that's been there for years. Alright? Most of the equipment that's out there on the hilltops has been aging exceeding 30 years. Many of the buildings at the site date back to the original mutual aid radio system, which was founded under a civil defense grant back in the 50s. Some of the vital dispatch equipment at these base stations even use tube technology, something that you just can't go and buy anymore. Availability of repair and replacement parts is limited to surplus or used parts that must sometimes be sourced from places like eBay. Not exactly where you'd want to be for an emergency top shelf system. And this is a big one. Last Friday, Happy Valentine's Day, Motorola issued the following product notice. Motorola Solutions announces the cancellation of specific models from the Pager portfolio, Minotaur 5 and Advisor 2. Lopan, it's us, will not be supported in future Pager products. So the company that provides probably 95% of the Pagers that we use has cut the tether and said, okay, Lopan, here you go. We're not going to do it anymore. Which puts us in a hell of a pickle. The quality and intelligibility of low-band fire dispatch transmissions varies greatly from day to day, sometimes from hour to hour. We can no longer rely on the fact that the dispatch system will survive anything that is thrown at it from the weather or from the power grid, nor can we be assured that parts will be available to fix it when it breaks. The long-term reliability and maintainability of the system is the issue that must be addressed, and it must be addressed now. Our low-band system is currently on life support on a daily basis. Thank God for the repairmen that, you know, do CPR on it pretty much on a weekly basis or sometimes on a daily basis, but the overall prognosis for the patient is terminal. All right, I've got some examples that I picked from actual dispatches. Phones are loaded to Pager at this point. Somebody fell. I think he's on Denison Road. Not exactly sure. Information in that dispatch. All right, in addition to these graphic audio examples, the system is also and this is becoming more and more prevalent every day for anybody that listens on scanners and so on and so forth, you hear. The dispatches, all of a sudden the dispatchers are talking, there's no tones to activate any pagers. These pagers need tones to open up, unless you're in monitor position, and most people are not. Okay? Once the tone's activated, then it talks. So the dispatcher's talking to himself at that point because there's no tones. Or, better yet, we get tones, but then we get either broken, like you just heard, or no audio. And then all of a sudden everybody and their brother is calling the control center and saying, pager's open, you got a call? And more prevalent you're hearing a redispatch. On January the 7th, in a 12-hour period, there were numerous emergency call dispatch failures that I happened to witness personally because my pager and I have a monitor receiver that's on all the time at home. On January 11th, there was a dispatch failure for New Paltz Fire. On January 13th, another failure for Platicill. Subsequent to that, when Hilton had the fire at the place there, the mix of the wine racks, there were dispatch failures. I found out from Kevin Keller from Wilmington that there were issues with that also. So, Blue Marine was hired over 2 years ago by the county to do a comprehensive review. Their findings indicated that the system was outdated 2 years ago. Should be replaced with a 21st century state-of-the-art trunk digital radio system, high-band VHF dispatch with a paging overlay that would simulcast the dispatch at all towers. The difference, again, between what we have and what they're recommending is that right now, this is activated off a signal from a single tower someplace in the county. The new system would simulcast off of all the towers, so it doesn't make any difference where I'm standing or what direction I'm facing. It would get saturated with signal from various directions. And yeah, it had a price tag. It had a price tag that scared a lot of people, to tell you the truth. Unfortunately, when the findings were presented, there was little to address how to fund such a proposal. That wasn't in the presentation from the consultant. There are, although they're becoming less and less, it's too bad we didn't get on the bandwagon earlier, there are Homeland Security Interoperability Grants. We had come down to the Fire Advisory Board last February, a group from the Interop group of Homeland Security at the state level from Albany, and they talked to us about various and sundry options that are out there for not pick up the whole task, but at least to provide some funding. There's options for bonding. There's options for leasing. There's options for lease to own. All right? Just like going out and buy a car. Right? You got a technology here that's changing about at a 15-year rate. You want to spend millions of dollars and buy it all now? Or would you rather, if you can get a good deal, work up some kind of a lease contract. It's a possibility. And there's other creative funding alternatives, none of which were looked at. The proposal also did not adequately address possible alternatives. Could a bulk equipment purchase be used to minimize the financial impact and secure a more favorable pricing structure? All of these vendors have the standard list price. You go and negotiate a contract for a system of this size, and you negotiate your price. All right? They will wheel and deal within the realm of their profitability, but that can be done. State contract pricing. Saratoga made a hell of a find in state contract for generators, for towers, and all kinds of stuff that nobody would even realize is in the state contract pricing. And the nice part about state contract is that you don't have to go out and look for competitive bids because it's already been bid by the state. Could the county provide one mobile and one portable for each piece of apparatus and for the command officer's vehicle? Saratoga did. That was one of the linchpins on their plan. They cranked that all into the cost of the system, the upfront cost of the system. They bonded it for about 6.5 years, 7 years, something like that. And they included, for that 6-year period, a portable and a mobile for each piece of apparatus. So that lifted some of the burden off of the Connellys of the world, the Cragmores of the world, and so on and so forth. If we're looking at sizable investment in radios to do the upgrade. Could other bulk purchase bids be used for various infrastructure components? The buildings at the base of the cell tower are factory made. Now, if you go to the vendor and you say, I want to go and buy 12 of those things, you can get a better price than you can get if you just decided to buy one. And also, could the existing low-band licenses be retained by the county for on-scene use for the existing mobiles and portables for their foreseeable lifespan until they just phase out? On August the 7th, we went up to Saratoga. We took a look at their system. The purpose was to compare their lessons learned and begin to create a workable solution, hopefully, for us to count. We found that their situation was very similar to ours. They have a 3,200-foot mountain range in the middle of the county. They come up from the Hudson River on one side, go over the mountain, down to, basically the valley on the other side. And they even use the same consultant that Ulster County originally started out with, Bluewood. The entire process, this is the manuals, takes a long time. Right? They had the same day-to-day worries that we had from a traumatic failure. Would it be insurmountable, or could they recover from a major failure? We also learned, as we said, that the topography was very similar to ours. They deployed an 800 megahertz trunk system. They operate on 12 channels. They're licensed for 15. Use simulcast high band paging, and they also, as part of their proposal, built a digital microwave relay system to all of the sites. And they're set up in a ring architecture so that there is no common point of sight. If one of the loops goes down, it just feeds back in the other direction. The cutover came just before Hurricane Irene in November 2011. They came through the storm with no issues. Again, in 2012, the system performed through Sandy without a hitch. These slides came from Saratoga. Not going to go through every single item, but the one that you're interested in is this one down here. Total, total, total. All right, this includes their dispatch center and everything else. $16 million. They brought it in under budget by $1 million. So it was actually $15 million. Ten new generators, seven new towers. The process goes all the way back to 1988. During the storm, they used 36 hours of flood time, with 20 seconds of overall system busy time. It's nothing. The original system, the new system, their old shelters probably look a lot like ours. The new tower, a single new tower, they built 12 of them. Shelters, which are, as I said, factory manufactured, basically for the cellular industry, but there's no reason why You couldn't use something like it? Equipment inside. Brand new generators. Propane powered. They have a minimum of 30 to 45 days of on-site fuel. When they ended up turning up the system, the contract called for 95% mobile coverage and 95% portable coverage. They actually came in at the 95 for the mobiles and 97 for portables. Somebody in the north end of the county can key up on a portable and talk to somebody down at Clifton Park. Portable department. System busy is measured in just seconds per month, never in minutes. The microwave system experienced 6 seconds of downtime in 365 days, which did not cause any failure because of the ring architecture. And their bottom line to us was, it just plain works. So, and again, I apologize for all the words, but to summarize, where are we? We're on the shelf. Okay. There was not an overwhelming positive response to a user survey that ARC sent out, and as a result, we've gone nowhere. Public safety and potentially lives are at stake for every day that we fail to move this issue forward. It's not something that's going to happen in a year. It's not something that's going to happen in 2 years. We're talking probably 3 or 5 years if we move this on a fast track now. And we as the managers of public safety in the county simply can't allow this to happen. There are too many things. We need to plan for sites. We need to acquire sites. We need to get licensing for frequencies. We need to do training. And then we actually have to do the conversion process. We currently have no dispatch alternative. If the dispatch system that we currently have goes down, we're dead. We're dead. Right? Everybody's got a man, firehouses, we're volunteers. We go back to the old days when somebody's going to call somebody who's then going to go to the firehouse and push the button to ring the siren. In addition, after February 21st, as we said, Motorola has orphaned the low-band pagers. So, where we're at, the Fire Advisory Board is committed to do whatever it takes to communicate this situation. We recently presented it, as I said, over at the U-Tri-C. So we had 124 members of the services present. We're now presenting the issue here, and eventually we would like to take an abbreviated version of this for the entire legislature. Collectively, we can make it a reality, and yes, it will take several years to become that reality, but again, we've got to start now, because the system is in guarded hell. We need to get this issue off the shelf and get it into a proactive mode, all right, in order to come up with a solution that we can all agree on and then move forward. Our recommendations, a project manager needs to be brought on board. In Saratoga County, they brought on a guy that had several years of his life devoted to construction of cell sites. He worked for Crown Castle, which is a major cellular antenna site provider. They built condominium sites. They put up the antenna, they put in the building, and then they rent modules in the building to the various companies that are going to hang antennas from the tower. Alright, so he had some excellent background in there. As a result, he was able to go to the vendors that supply the buildings and so on and so forth and say, hey, look, I need 12 of these things. I don't need one, I need 12 of them. What kind of deals can we work out? Funding sources obviously need to be nailed down. An interagency project steering committee needs to be formed that will be led by that project manager. And we're not talking about a committee of 20 or 30 members. We're not talking about the size of the Yelcho County Legislature. We're talking up there, they brought in about 7 people, the communications officer from the various agencies that are going to use the system. And oh, by the way, when they cut over, they brought on DPW, they brought on fire, they brought on EMS, they brought on the sheriff's office, and the 911 center up there is owned, well, not owned, but operated from the jail by the sheriff. FCC license applications took them almost 2 years to nail down all the licenses that were required. Proper sites need to be identified and acquired. Depending on the type of system we put in, we're going to need upwards of about 12 sites. We already have 5 or 6, so we've got to go out and hunt for, you know, at least that many more. Even if it's put on a fast track, it'll take 3 to 5 years, and that's very conservative to complete. We need to start now before the existing system suffers a traumatic and non-recoverable failure. We talked to Motorola. There's a couple issues here. We're talking about interoperability. We're talking about talking from truck to truck and from chief to the county and so on and so forth. We're also talking about the basics of getting the dispatch in the first place. All right? So we talked to one of the vendors, and they went out and did a survey using the sites that we currently have and looked at it from the standpoint of VHF high, which is 150 megahertz. If we were to upgrade all of these sites and put in a digital simulcast system on VHF high, which, hey, Motorola has cut cord on low band, is the next place to go is VHF high. We do have some VHF frequencies available. They're being used for other things, but, you know, what's more important is that somebody to a person have a heart attack, or you know, that frequency can be shared or what have you. Those are things that the committee would have to tear apart and figure out. The coverage countywide with a simulcast system, everything in the green was considered to be anywhere from good to excellent coverage. The only places that are in the hole, and they are typically literally in the hole, is up in the Pine Hills and Asia, you know, in between the mountains. Can that be fixed? Yeah, can be fixed. But you're going to have to consider additional towers for each of these little divots in the geography. And, you know, that adds considerably to the cost. By the way, those things could be added later on, right? We could probably cover about 90 to 95% of the users with these 6 sites. So, my objective was about 30 minutes, and we're just about there. We do appreciate the opportunity to address you folks. And we invite you to continue to have a dialogue with the Fire Advisory Board. Meetings are held on the 4th Wednesday, which our next meeting will be day after tomorrow, right here in the same room. And, you know, again, we would like to underscore the help that we're getting from, and we did get from Saratoga for sharing their experiences and their insights with us. And if there was one message that we came away with those guys, is this is not something that you do just, you know, well, let's do it, right? It's a considerable amount of time. Last item, ART has sent out a survey after the Blue Wing presentation. I've only got about 10 copies that I made, but there's surely copies here or okay. So, on the left, the fire department. The first column to the right, the original survey. That was the survey that Art sent out after the Blue Wing presentation. You'll notice, I agree with Art. Not an overwhelming, you know, 15 voted yes and 15 didn't vote at all. See, obviously, there can't be too much of a problem here. You know, 15 companies didn't seem to get too charged up over this thing. And Turing 1 at that time said no. The preponderance were, they didn't either understand the technology that was being proposed because the presentation was not at that level, or they just flat out didn't understand how we're going to pay for it. Where's the money going to come from to do it? Because the original presentation said that, oh, $27 million, the county will do the infrastructure piece, that's $20 million, and you folks out there in wherever will pick up the rest. $7 million for a bunch of volunteers? No, and the fire districts are hung up with the same 2% cap that everybody else is. So everybody kind of shook their heads and said, I don't think so. Turn the clock forward 2 years, a little missionary work and a lot of legwork by the Fire Advisory Board members, we've got it to the point now where there are only four companies with no response. One of them is not even dispatched by Ulster County, that's Clarendon. Right? They're listed on here as the no response. They really have no action on this thing one way or the other. Did this bad set of either Sullivan? There are 1, 2, 3, 4 that said qualified yes. And the qualified yes was, yeah, we got financial issues. We agree with the proposal, but we'd like to see the county subsidize, like Saratoga County did, some of the mobile and portable equipment. Now, I'm sure that every one of these counties can afford the outlay for pagers. They're not going to have a choice over the next 4 or 5 years to have to do it anyway. Right? And we're talking about 4 to 5 years to get these sites up, running, cut over, and whatever, and we just hope that the existing system lasts that long. So at this point, you've heard my pitch. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to the extent that I can.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a quick question first, just to clarify my mind. Now, let me say at the beginning of this all that we didn't have access to IBM VHF, and then the recommendation is for IBM VHF.
Well, IBM VHF, to the tune of 12 to 15 channels for the interoperable system, the trunking system, generally they're not available. Not that many, right? We do have several VHF high band frequencies now that are currently in use, including a couple that are used for EMS, right? And EMS is going to be a piece of this overall system. Well, you only need one frequency, right? So you've got a simulcast from all six of those sites to a pager, and right now, currently, the dispatcher can only put out one at a time. There's a physical situation. So I don't think that that's a major issue for a single for dispatching. And Blue Ring didn't either. In the Blue Ring proposal, they talked about VHF high band for the dispatcher. And then the trunking system being, again, like a glorified cellular system, right? You have to have enough paths, so you have to have enough channels so that you have blockages. Now, if you want to talk to somebody else on your cell phone, then you tie up one channel. But if you have 10 people that want to talk to 10 other people on a radio system, now you're tying up multiple channels. The good news about the trunking system, though, is that it's only tied up to the period of time that you hold down the mic and talk. And then the channel is reallocated each time that you talk again. So,
I would like to say, as if you're the prior presentation by the budget ruling, and now I heard yours, yours is very clear. I understand it much better, and I thank you. I thank you for it. Before the audience thought you were going to have $27 million. But I do. I do need to ask a question that's on my mind. I'm a little confused on a different front. I thought the reason why the Homeland Security grants that we give it out after 9/11 was more the purpose of communication than the...
There were several. There's another round that's coming up now for the 911 center. Matter of fact, they were just announced, but the bottom line to that one is, you got to apply for it. You got to ask. You got to fill out the paperwork. You got to do the grunt work to get the money so that you can then spend the money on what you said you were going to spend it on.
Did we receive past money?
Very little. The only money that I know of that Art received was $900,000 for an interrupt tower up in the north end of the county. That was at number six site. And it was an interoperability issue between us and Greene County.
Delaware,
maybe? Okay. So there was a consortium that put a grant request together, and we got about $900,000 out of that. From what I understand, Art came to one of the Art Advisory Board meetings in 2 minutes, public information. They spent about $800,000 of that and returned to the state about $170,000.
Is the money available?
I have no idea. I don't do that stuff, but, you know, this is why we're talking to the Public Safety Committee. This is why we're going to talk to the legislature, because they need to get proactive in this.
Okay. I was just going to, I think it's been made clear, but I just wanted to make it clear that there's two separate proposals, and then they work together, the high band for dispatching, and then 800 megahertz for talking, for car-to-car and person-to-person.
Other questions?
Sure. Eric Benjamin with the Sheriff's Office. We've been dealing with this for a long time. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Currently, Ulster County uses VHF, low band, UHF, 800 EDACs, which is not interoperable with the 800. I can attach that to the low band. It's terrible. It really needs to get looked at. Probably pretty soon, and it is not supported. We try to support the fire services when we can with our mobile command post, which is interoperable, but that's on a federal basis, specific. Having said all that, with the $7 million needed for the fire services, the Police Peace Association of Ulster County looked at the Blue Wind study, and they turned it down for the same reason. Was that it did not incorporate the equipment for municipalities, and they looked at it as an unfunded mandate. For them, it's going to be another additional expense for them to be on the same frequency. And we perceive it without them, we're not interoperable anymore. Mm-hmm. So there are additional assets that are out there that need to be looked at. If we were looking at an 800 system. I know Ulster County holds quite a few VHF frequencies now. I know that there's some that are just not used. There were some police agencies that were willing to give up VHF frequencies. However, you got to look at the FCC to see if they'll license it as a county or just as a generic or a specific location in the county to be utilized. And then going over all this stuff, we're looking at the 800 EDACs that we use. That's not going to be supported much longer. So we have a pretty much a crisis on our hand. And sometimes I can't even communicate with our emergency services unit on my office because they're being asked on VHF. It's something that really needs to be considered. I know I think it was $21 million price tag. In the first part of the presentation, there is no interoperability right now without the 911 relay. Absolutely correct. My suggestion, at least for law enforcement, and I know that we have a lot of concerns and we work with the fire department daily, but without that $21 million, we own the frequencies, we have them installed in our cars, and we can become interoperable with the police agencies like we are in the 911 frequency right now. I can talk to 800, VHF, UHF, like I'm sitting here, for $4,000 a year, which is a considerable difference to 21 million. And we already own the frequencies, they're already in our radios, and it'll make it interoperable as a police operations channel. That'll be worth just like the 911 frequency.
It won't directly help the fire, though, because we're stuck on hold.
It won't. It absolutely won't.
To comment also, in Saratoga County, and we found out as a result of going up there, there is a move on the part of the state Homeland Security that where an 800 megahertz or 700 megahertz trunk system becomes available, state police will migrate their entire troop in that area to it. And they, in fact, did that in Saratoga County. So, you know, there is support at that level.
Well, the $27 million that we talked about last time was totally total cost of total package. I'm hearing 21 now plus taking over more. Am I understanding that the county would be 23 to 24 to 25 million dollars?
Don't know.
Okay.
You really don't know until you go through the steps of an RFI and RFP.
The 27 million in the moving presentation, I believe, was $18 million infrastructure and cost to the county and $9 million to the fire service. And all the end users, that was the county at $18
million. It was all from numbers off of passing buttons. Right. You know, they were magnitude budgetary numbers because nobody's done the study. They were doing a very high-level study of communications issues in El Segundo. You need to bring it down a couple of steps and do the details, as Charlotte did. Their system, 12 sites, 12 channels, very similar to what we would be putting in. They put in for $15 million total, including providing a mobile and affordable for every rolling stock. They brought on DPW, sheriff, EMS, fire, 2,000 users. 2,000 users they have on the system. So there's something to be said for, you know, in pricing for magnitude scale.
Yeah. Second question. The sites that you have identified, are they approved by the town? Are there zoning issues? Is eminent domain involved?
Don't know. Again, don't know. Right? The existing sites already exist. Whether or not we can upgrade the towers to above the tree lines and in certain places, I don't know. I mean, we got one up on Tonky Mountain up outside of Woodstock. Got a problem right now. The antennas are below the trees. As soon as the leaves come out of the trees in another month, that tower is useless.
Chainsaws.
Don't have any answer for that one. I will tell you that in Saratoga County, again, there was three sites that were in the Adirondack State Park. And if you want to talk about having issues, they ended up having a domain outside the park on one site. They actually did condemn a site and take it over. The three sites within the park took them 2.5 years to negotiate back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Ended up coming up with a camouflage design. Some of you have seen it driving down the road, the cell tower that looks like an octopus with all the tentacles hanging out. I don't know if it makes it look any better or any worse, but
I've talked to people in the communications area who call it, they call those Frankenstein.
Last question.
Yes.
The towers themselves, the towers and everything, could they be used for regular telephone and for cable access?
All of this relates back to our visit to Saratoga. When they developed the infrastructure at their site, they put in two redundant concrete slabs. One to put the communications building up, and one to do exactly what you're saying, because there is space on that tower for other things. Their average tower height up there is about 150 feet, and it's an A-frame tower, so it's very rigidly constructed, to hold up the wind and so on and so forth, handles microwave dishes. So they anticipated trying to possibly market those sites in the future, not necessarily right now.
Is it true that these towers have to be in line of sight of each other?
The microwave system has to be line of sight, but it doesn't necessarily mean that all of the towers physically have to be line of sight. In other words, Tower A and Tower B might actually have to shoot to Tower C microwave-wise, even though these two are closer together to the hill, if you will.
Right?
There's ways to engineer around that.
I would just say, based on my experience, I helped create the mobile command post, is interoperable, and it took a few years to get up and off the ground. We use fire services all the time. I think that Ulster County is pretty unique. I don't know so much that we own any towers, but we lease them. So it's kind of a cost consideration for increased towers. But I really think that this body maybe should commission a study to see what frequencies we're using, what frequencies that we are actually registered with the FCC for. I know DPW, our DPW, uses UHF, and it seems to work 10 times better than the emergency services frequency. I don't know why. But they're UHF frequency, they can talk. They have the talk groups.
They're using a trunk mobile system, which is again similar to a cellular system. As you move from site to site to site, you negotiate channel availability from the next site.
It really is. I think they really like it. We've used it. It's really a nice system. But I think we do have these frequencies available. I know that there's some police agencies that don't use them and doesn't make them available for county use. But we still have that old adage that I can get to a scene and I can't talk to the fire service or the police officer that's going to be in the 21st century. And it really, really creates having big scenes and how dynamic they can be and how critical you need to mitigate what you can. As soon as you can. That we would like to
the issue is that Art said quite bluntly, and I use his words, and any of the fire advisors board members will shake their heads and say, yeah, that's it. It's on the shelf. He refuses to take it off the shelf and do anything further with it. Now, he hasn't seen these numbers, okay? These are hot off the press as of today. It's still at 100%, but of 51 companies, 33%, of 33 companies, 150% said yes. As a matter of fact, some of them didn't just fill out the form, yes or no, they were quite verbal in writing a letter.
And that's the prior company, but it seems to me this was the plan and the budget would include all of the first responders, starting with the county and
911. Yep. And it could also very easily tie in the trunk system that Public Works has. Not with any huge amount of outlay because they've already got it. So all you have to do is build the gateway between the two systems. And they become a talk channel on our radios. And, you know.
This is the first time I'm hearing about it in any detail, but it seems to make a lot of sense to get a clear picture of what it would entail, what it would cost, whose responsibility, whose part of that would be. I also am urging you
Also, in the one picture that showed the equipment inside the equipment enclosure, the yellow boxes that were in the one rack, those are batteries. They already have batteries there. They don't have solar cells to charge them. They charge them off the grid. But there's no real reason why, as the solar technology is improving, that, you know, except if you live in Syracuse, when you only got $150 a charge tag,
they have that much.
From this list, I understand some of these departments were qualified, I guess, assuming some equipment provided by the county. I mean, these departments understand that there may be a financial component from their taxing jurisdiction, but it was clear to them that there may be expectations.
What they're doing is raising up the flag and saying, hey, you know, we're looking for some support in order to do this. We don't disagree. As a matter of fact, several of them actually put the words down. We don't disagree with the plan. We like to know, you know, where it's going to come from and if the county is going to go along with a proposal similar to what Saratoga did. So, yeah, we presented that. I mean, that's, again, public information.
Quick question. I just
want to
make sure I understood you. Arch Matter is that team, the true number in the second column?
No, this was, I just tallied this to 3 bucks after.
When will you be presenting these numbers?
As soon as I see them.
Okay. Normally, on the shelf comment was based on the original 15 guesses versus.
And the high number of non-responses total.
Right.
Which, you know, again, due to our missionary work, we've got that down to 4. Of which one of the 4 is not even ours.
You have the police services.
I didn't put police and I didn't put EMS on there because the police and EMS at this point, the non-fire related EMS, are again already on VHF or they're on their own systems. Would police want to piggyback along on something like this? Well, the Ulster County Volunteer Fire Police Association said yeah. All right, not necessarily the Ulster County Association of Fire Districts said, absolutely, and they're the ones, generally they're the commissioners that have to pay the bills. And the town of Ulster, the supervisor, submitted a letter supporting it, as did the town of Ulster police.
This system, correct me if I'm wrong, would be interoperable with what we already have with the police and the EMS though, right?
The islands, as we would call them, of different systems, could in fact be bridged to get into a hybrid plan.
Yes.
Question of what you said, that you had qualified yeses by some. Is it then appropriate to say that those that have answered yes fully understand the cost and are willing to put money into a fund that they can't get out any other way?
Again, I don't think anybody can understand the cost yet until we get on the shelf.
But that begs the question. You say yes, but you don't know what you're saying. Yes, but you have a yes.
Well, if I may, though, I think that, you know, from an EMS standpoint, we know that we're going to have to replace 35 portables, you know, 7, you know, radios within our vehicles. We know the approximate cost of that. 35 gauges, we know that approximate cost.
But there's just so many people we're getting it today that we have four here that say qualified yes, and a bunch of...
Well, that'll cool up as we get more. I'm sorry, let me try to
add real quick. Let me take care of it.
When this started 5-6 years ago, they started talking about replacing the radios, and they started the meetings with the Blue Wing and before Blue Wing got on board. He did meet with all of the, anybody that did show up, and the fire district were advised to start a fund to start putting money away. So whether they did or not, that's up to them. It wasn't happening out there. We have a communications fund. We put money away every year for it. I figured it up there, right? So the Blue Wing had, if it happened out, because every radio that we have in the shop, the GTA and everything, is about $65,000. Now, if we budget 10 years, you know, you put $2,000 with every year, you're going to have money to pay for it. You're still talking about five, but they started 5 or 6 years ago, like they were asked to. Hopefully they do have money to pay for that.
And I know I'm probably going to see a lot of heads in the back row shaking on this, but to your point, Don, you know, they're saying yes without knowing, you know, the exact cost. Yes, and what TJ is saying is absolutely true. They can have they can know in their minds an approximate cost based on how much the equipment costs and how much of the equipment they need to buy. But the point is that if the system breaks down and doesn't work, there's no point in having fire trucks if you can't send them to the right direction. So in some cases, the cost is going to be a secondary decision to making sure that public safety is upheld.
We got to get her off the shelf. That's the bottom line. That's what I'll make some phone calls from. Anything else? If not, I know everybody's busy. Thank you for your time. Also, I know most of your EMS and fire providers, thank you for your service. Nobody said that lately.
Okay. Thanks.